Very appropriately, we have sang that song. I did not even really ask Ward to lead that song, but I'm glad that he did, because it serves as a very fitting introduction to some thoughts we want to think about regarding the Word of God today. Because that book that you hold in your hand, whether it be in paper form or electronic form, that book, that Bible that you hold and you possess, can do for you something that no other book can do if you let it. That is the best book you can ever have. It has the power to transform and change your life for all that is good now and for all eternity. And so it is very significant. It is very important. It is vital that as people of God who want to draw closer to God, that we take our Bibles and that we use them for the power and the ability that is contained within its pages. Just a few passages to remind us of what the Bible has to say for itself. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, words we are very familiar with, say, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Remember, we're saying the Bible can do something for us that no other book can do. It has a transforming power. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We learn all of that. We learn what the acceptable, the good, the complete will of God is through His Word. It transforms us. We also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3, 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible, the will of God, the revealed truth that we read in its pages, has the ability to change our lives, to transform us from being just the person that did not have a relationship with God, the person that was just a person of the world, to being a person of Christ, a person of the Lord, a person of great faith. I also want you to look at a passage or listen to a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, really verses 1 through 13, basically the entirety of the chapter almost. But this is a marvelous text that teaches us some significance about the Word of God, the Bible being the Word of God, the preaching of that Word, the teaching and communicating of that Word, and the relevance and significance and transforming power that it has for anyone who listens with faith and with a heart open and a mind open receives the truth that the Bible contains. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech," notice these are words, this is communication, "my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and a power. And your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak," notice communication again, "we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of our rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them." Now we're talking once again about communication. He's talked about preaching and speaking and sharing words. And now he's talking about communication that's not just from the worldly standpoint or from man's wisdom, but it's from God.
And he further elaborates on that in verse 10. But God has revealed. God has revealed them, these truths, to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see the great value of the Bible? Listen to verse 13 in the English Standard Version. In the ESV, verse 13 says, "And we impart this in words." We impart this in words. Not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. You see, there's something very vital, something very significant about words. Spoken words of Jesus, spoken words of God, spoken words of the prophets and apostles of God that were written down and recorded and still in the form of words in the pages of the Bible. The very significance of this, I think, from this passage we've been reading, is also seen in one more translation that I want to share with you from the Easy to Read Version. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And listen to 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 13, as we think about the significance, the power of the Word of God, the words that are on those pages in front of you, how very powerful, how very significant they are. Verse 10, God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit even knows the deep secrets of God. It is like this. No one knows the thoughts of another that another person has. Only the person's spirit that lives inside knows those thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit. We receive the Spirit that is from God, not the spirit of the world. We receive God's Spirit so that we can know all that God has given us. Verse 13, when we say this, we don't use words taught by human wisdom. We use words taught to us by the Spirit. Communication. Words. We use words. We use words taught to us by the Spirit. We use the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. You see, that Bible that you hold in your hand, whether it be a paper form like this or an electronic one, that Bible that you read and study are the words of the Spirit of God. Therefore, it has great power, great ability to transform our lives, to change us from being just people of the world to being people of the Word, to being people of the world to being people of God. And so no other book can do for me or you what that Bible in your hand can do. No other book can change your life like the Bible. No other book can transform my life like the Bible. No other book can make me the person that I need to be than the Bible. And so it's very important that we read, that we study the Bible. Because God does not work in a vacuum, so to speak. But there must be my contribution, what I bring to the table in regard to studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, praying to God, comprehending the Word of God, and approaching it with an open Bible and an open mind and an open heart. And while it's very important that we read the Bible every day, and on the front of our bulletin, we are reading through the New Testament 3 times this year as a congregation, on the front of our bulletin, we list each week the portions of Scripture that we need to read to keep on that task. Perhaps most of you, I think, have another Bible reading program that you're involved in where you're reading various parts of the Bible on some kind of regular schedule. And that's very helpful. And that's very good. And I would never discourage you from reading the Bible. In fact, I would encourage each and every one of us to read it more. But you know, we have to understand that while reading assigned portions of the Bible every day are important, just that alone, without my heart, without my mind, is insufficient. I've got to put my heart into this if I want to be transformed by the Word of God. If I really want to be changed by the message of this book, I've got to read it and study it. Psalm 1, verse 2, tells us that the man who is blessed is the man who meditates on God's Word day and night. It's not just reading for the sake of reading. It's not just an assignment. It's something that becomes part of me. In fact, that word that is used in the first Psalm for meditate has a meaning behind it in the original language that he speaks it to himself. It's okay to talk to yourself, all right? It's particularly okay to talk to yourself when you're talking to yourself about the Word of God. You speak this to yourself. You talk to yourself about what you've read. You meditate on it day and night. Because when we obey the Word of God, it gives us the direction that our life needs to take to be pleasing to Him and to serve Him faithfully. Joshua, when Joshua was placed in the position of leadership for the children of Israel, God encouraged him very greatly in regard to how he ought to live. And one of the things that God told Joshua was to observe the law and to follow faithfully the law. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, just one verse out of the several things that Joshua was told, the book of the law. You remember, in Joshua's time, we have 66 books in our Bible. In Joshua's time, he had 5. But those 5 were just as significant then as all 66 are now. And Joshua was told, and indirectly you and I are told, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may, now listen to these next 3 words, observe to do. See what it says? Transform your life. Transform your thinking. Meditate on it day and night and observe to do. Listen to what it says, but don't just read it for the sake of reading it. Observe, meditate, talk to yourself about it in order to obey it. Observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see how the Bible transforms our lives? See how the Bible changes our lives? And much of this that we're talking about here has been introductory in its nature, but we have to understand that it's very significant, it's very important that we have this handle on the power and the transforming power and the significance of the Word of God, the written Word of God, because we also understand that the phrase Word of God, the terminology Word of God, is also used in the Bible in reference not just to that written book, but to the very Son of God Himself. You may recall that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God from the beginning, and the Word was God." And while we might be a little perplexed for a moment reading John chapter 1, verse 1, as to the identity of who the Word is in verse 1, you read a little further down in that context in verse 14, it says, the Word that verse 1 is talking about, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus. You see, before Jesus was really known by the earthly name Jesus that was given to him at his birth, he was known as the Word. And so we have the written Word, and we have the living Word. And then we're tying these things together. We spent a few moments here in introductory remarks thinking about the significance and the importance of reading and meditating and putting the written Word into my mind and heart because of the correlation it has to the living Word. Here's the truth. Your attitude toward the written Word has a direct correlation to your attitude toward the living Word. And how you treat the written Word will directly impact how you treat the living Word. And your respect for the written Word will reflect your respect for the living Word. And the living Word and the written Word are all tied together. The Word, the written Word, is the Word of the living Word. In fact, there are many identifications and correlations between the written Word and the living Word in the Scriptures. We don't have time to elaborate on a lot of them, but we meditate on the Word of God because the more we meditate and focus on the Word of God, the more we're going to meditate and focus on Jesus. And the more we're going to become like Him. And we see the parallels in regard to how the living Word and the written Word are together. We're told in Psalm 119, 105 that the Bible is light. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We were also told in John chapter 8, verse 12, that Jesus is the light of the world. You see, the written Word is light. The living Word is light. Jesus called himself in John 6:48 the bread of life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when he was answering the temptations of Satan, Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see how the bread of life and the nourishment of the Word of written are correlated together to be the Word living, the Word written. Jesus also said of himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. I am the truth. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, says, sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. You see, the living Word is truth. The written Word is truth. We could go on and on and on with many other comparisons, but I think those few are all we'll have time for at the moment. But you see, we are meditating on the written Word. We're picking up the written Word, and we're studying this with our heart, our mind, our soul. We are focusing on the written Word so that we might focus on the living Word. Because the way I treat this Word, the way I treat this book, the way I treat my Bible will have a direct reflection and impact and correlation on how I treat the living Word. And if I don't respect the written Word, I'm not going to respect the living Word. If I don't listen to the written Word, I'm not going to listen to the living Word. You see, how I treat this book is exactly how I'm going to treat my Lord. And so it's very vital. It's very vital that we take this book and that we find within its pages the blessings of the transforming power that it has for us. And I've said pretty much all of this by the way of introduction in regard to what our attitude should be toward the Bible in letting the Bible do for us what no other book can do. This is what your Bible can do for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So, we have now spent these first few moments tying together and stressing the significance of the written word and the living word, and how they both are correlated together, and you really can't love one without loving the other, and you can't ignore one without ignoring the other. So vital to our Christianity, vital to our faith, vital to our soul survival is how we regard the Word of God. And I just want to give you now in this second part of the lesson three things that I want all of us to remember in regard to how we treat the Word of God. Number one, you must appreciate the Word. Number one, you must appreciate the Word of God. Why? Because it's not the Word of man. It's the Word of God. We don't treat it haphazardly. We don't treat it without reverence, without respect, but very respectfully and reverently we read and study our Bibles. Not the way you look at the newspaper. They still make those, don't they? Not the way that you look at just a book in literature. Not the way you read an article on the internet necessarily from time to time. But we take this book with a different kind of appreciation because, you see, when we open a fiction book or a biography of someone of the world, when we open an article on the internet or when we open a newspaper or something like that, we just open that book. When you open this book, not only do you open the book, you also open it with your heart. And you approach this book not only with your eyes, but with your heart. And you come to love and appreciate this book. Because this written word comes from the living word. The 119th Psalm also tells us in verse 7, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." We must appreciate the Word of God. The 19th Psalm, we've read referenced several times the 119th, but the 19th Psalm says, beginning at verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold." Yes, much more than fine gold. "Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Appreciate the word. Number two, appropriate the word. Number one, appreciate. Number two, appropriate the word. You see, just simply having a copy of the Bible before your eyes, while that's really, really good and really, really desired and really, really positive, just having the letters on the pages in front of your eyes is no absolute guarantee that you're meditating on the truth to put them behind your eyes into your mind and your heart. You see, we must appropriate the Word of God. You know, in Montgomery and Washington, they talk about the Appropriations Committee. That's the folks who get the stuff financially and bring it together to pay for the bills. And I'm doing such a good job of that, but that's another story. But you and I need to do a good job of appropriating the Word of God. Have it before your eyes, but also put it in your heart. As we've already pointed out, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says the Bible is like bread. Nourishment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says to desire the sincere or genuine milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You see, there's bread, there's milk. Hebrews 5, the latter part of Hebrews chapter 5, talks about how once, as we continue to grow and mature, spiritually speaking, we move from the milk to solid food for nourishment and growth. So there's bread, there's milk, there's solid food. And even what we read back over here in Matthew, Psalm 19, honey. Sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, the Bible is called. And so what digestion is to the body, physically, meditation is to the mind and soul, spiritually. When we meditate on the Word of God. You see, food does us no good. I think we can all understand this basic principle I'm about to say. Food does us no good unless we eat it and digest it. The Bible, the bread, the milk, the solid food, the honey, will do us no good unless we eat it and digest it and absorb it and meditate on it. So, number one, appreciate. Number two, appropriate the Word of God. Number three, apply the Word of God. Appreciate, appropriate, and apply the Word of God. Because, as we've already pointed out, my attitude toward this book will be a direct reflection of my attitude toward Jesus. My attitude toward the written Word will be a direct reflection of my attitude toward the living Word. And so I've got to take the truth that I have read here and meditated on, and that I've thought about here, and apply them. Why? Because the Word of God, Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us, is living and powerful. And I think when you look at that context, it may be more of a indication, or it may be more of a doctrine, a teaching about Jesus the Word than it is so much about the Bible, but I think you can make application of both because they're both living and powerful. And that we apply the Word of God, and that every day we exercise our faith when we meditate on the Word of God, we listen, we hear, we believe, we grow in our faith, we mature in our understanding, we gain wisdom, and we learn. And the more we learn, the more we're able to, what Joshua 1:8, observe to do. And maybe you look at this book and you say, land sakes, this thing is huge. And there's so much in here. How could I possibly ever learn all of this? I don't know anybody that knows everything about the Bible except God Himself. And it's a lifetime commitment here. Remember, we're talking about appropriating and applying. Think of all the volumes and volumes and volumes of food, milk and bread and honey and solid food that you're going to eat over a lifetime. if you live a good, long life. If you saw all that piled up together in one place, I'm sure it would be overwhelming. And you can't eat it all at once. You have to take it spoonful by spoonful, day by day. Take this book. I don't know anybody that could take it all at once and digest it. But you take it page by page, word by word, book by book, verse by verse, day by day, and you digest, and you meditate, and you think on these things, and you appreciate, and you appropriate, and you apply. And pretty soon, after months of doing that, years of doing that, you love this book and realize that it can do more for you than any other book ever. And that only this book can do for you what it can do. And that the way I treat the written word will also be the way that I treat the living word. You see, James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so, appreciate, appropriate, and apply. And be doers of the word. Today, as you listen to the word, there's been much we have said. And I hope it will be a blessing to you not only today, but in many days to come. But also as we draw now our time to a close in regard to this lesson, listen to the word of God in regard to what the Lord says about our salvation. It's through Him, it's because of Him, and it's by Him. But Jesus said that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Appreciate that. Appropriate that. And if you need to, apply that. Where are you in your journey and walk of faith? Maybe you're not ready to make that full commitment yet, but you want to study. You want to learn more. You want to meditate more. And you're taking it spoonful by spoonful, verse by verse. Keep studying. Keep reading. We will help you. God will bless you. But maybe you're ready to obey the gospel and you're ready to fully apply what Jesus says about salvation. And you're ready to be immersed in His name. If you are, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?